Devoured Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Devour the Podcast. I'm your host, David. And this week, I am not reviewing Paranormal Activity 3. I'm just not. I haven't watched it yet. I didn't have any desire to watch it this week. I will watch it more than likely for next week, possibly, hopefully, if I remembered I need to actually watch it for the show. Things have been kind of hectic lately. Kind of trying to get recording for this episode done as quickly as possible. It's a little bit later in the week than I would have liked to start recording, but it is what it is. So, this week I'm actually going to be giving a bonus review, because I'm not doing Paranormal Activity 3. I'm doing, for our feature presentation, the Dario Argento Classic Deep Red. It came from the Instant Queue. It will be the documentary Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue. And for our bonus review, it will be the 1997 Paul W.S. Anderson film, Event Horizon. So, that's about it. Nothing really going on in the blog right now. I'm super behind on getting the Nightbreed retrospective done. I have not sat down to read issues 6, 7, or 8 yet of the comic to write about them. That is because I have got some other projects that I'm working on currently, or will be working on shortly, that have been keeping me from working on that. And quite honestly, I just haven't had the time to sit down and work on, just sit down to read those books and write about them. Because as I said, I've got a couple other projects I'm kind of kicking back and forth that I need to start working on. So, that retrospective will continue shortly. More than likely, either by the time this episode airs, you will hopefully issue 6, 7, and 8 will be up. If not, they will be up before episode 9 goes up, which will be next week, theoretically. So, without any further ado, I don't think I have anything else I need to talk about for this introduction. So, let's go ahead and jump right into It Came from the Instant Queue with Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue.
It Came from the Instant Queue.
This week's It Came from the Instant Queue is the 2009 documentary Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue, The Evolution of the American Horror Film.
In 1910, the New York film studio of Thomas Edison created an adaptation of Mary Shelley's Gothic novel, Frankenstein. The film was a commercial failure. It would be 20 years before the rise of the American horror film. Between 2003 and 2008, 135 horror titles grossed nearly $3 billion at the box office. Hundreds more were produced for home video, proving that the genre still has plenty of lifeblood, and prompting some to wonder why American viewers are so obsessed with violence. How did we get here?
If a horror film is cutting off people's thumbs and gouging their eyes out, I guess that's a certain kind of horror film, but it's certainly not the kind of horror film that interests me.
The appeal of horror movies has always been about confronting death, and in their various ways, these movies, you know, help us cope with that, and that's one of the reasons that this has been such a long-lived genre, even from literary times on.
Fear is probably the most powerful emotion we all feel as humans. We're all afraid of death and loss of a loved one, loss of identity, all the things that you see in a movie, we're all afraid of.
In my mind, what makes a good horror movie is something that stays with you after the credits go and you're in the car and you're driving home and that next morning when you wake up.
If you meet all the people who make horror films, you discover they are very nonviolent, they're politically active and knowledgeable and anti-war. They have opened themselves up to all of these possibilities, and it's the people who repress them who are the ones you have to look out for.
I always had this affinity towards the great universal monsters. Not sure where that came from, other than probably being a boy who felt like he was not particularly good looking and felt like a freak.
I love the monsters. I mean, that goes back to those days at the RKO Castle Hill, when even though Frankie was bothering me a little bit there, I still sympathized with him, and I've always sympathized with the monsters.
Directed by Andrew Monument, written by Joseph Madry, he wrote the screenplay and the book, and narrated by Lance Henriksen. This documentary features Larry Cohen, Joe Dante, John Carpenter, Darren Lynn Bousman, Mick Garris, Tom McLaughlin, George Romero, Brian Yuzna, Roger Corman, and many others. I really, really like this documentary. I'm a big fan of documentaries in general, and especially documentaries about the horror genre. And typically, you can't like find those unless you're actually watching the behind-the-scenes retrospectives that are released on special edition, typically anniversary editions of movies, or the making-of documentaries. Those are usually pretty good. But the documentaries that I like the best typically are the feature-length documentaries about a specific film or about a genre or about the genre. And if you haven't seen, there are three that come to mind, that I, two of which I own and one of which I don't have yet. Halloween 25 Years of Terror, His Name is Jason, 30 Years of Friday the 13th, and Never Sleep Again, the retrospective on the Nightmare on Elm Street series. All three are excellent. Nightmare is probably the most in-depth. It's about almost 4 hours long, I believe. Really, really long documentary, but absolutely fantastic. His Name is Jason is also very good. That's about 2 hours or so. And then the Halloween documentary is about the same length. There's also a documentary about the slasher genre. I believe it's still on Netflix Instant Watch, called Going to Pieces, The Rise and Fall of the Slasher Genre, which isn't as in-depth as it could have been. They glance over the Italian giallos, but it's pretty good. However, Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue is a fantastic documentary. A lot of very, very, very cool directors talk in it. John Carpenter and Roger Corman are both... Actually, I'd say Roger Corman is an interesting one to listen to. His thoughts in the documentary are very interesting. But John Carpenter and Tom McLaughlin are probably my two favorites in this piece. John Carpenter always is someone who's fascinating to listen to. And Tom McLaughlin is also another very interesting guy to listen to, as he's very open about how he views the horror genre and how he... his input, his views on this genre. And it's very interesting to listen to him. He does quite a bit of discussion in the Jason documentary. He's the director of Friday the 13th Part 6, easily my absolute favorite of the series, of the sequels. And this documentary basically tracks the, as the title says, the evolution of the American horror film, starting with the silent films of the early 1900s and early 20s. Into the universal films of the 30s and 40s, and into the, obviously, onto the 60s, 70s, and onward. And it sort of, it takes the point that after the war, there was more of a shift into the giant monster, atomic age stuff of the 50s, and how, up until Psycho, horror movies were typically viewed as children's fare. And then Psycho came and completely changed everything, and Psycho was the film that kind of changed the way people thought of horror films, in that it wasn't so much about the giant monsters or the atomic age stuff now, it was that the horror could be very real and very human. And they talk about some of the films of the 70s and into the 80s onward. It's a very interesting documentary, and I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. I believe it's about a little over 2 hours. And I really don't want to give away too much of it, because there's a lot of discussion from all the different directors and such who are in the film. And Lance Henriksen is fantastic as the narrator. I love Lance Henriksen. I think he's a great actor. And he's definitely someone who is a good choice to be the narrator for this piece. So, with all that said, which essentially amounts to a whole lot of nothing, really, because it's kind of hard to review a documentary, but fantastic documentary, easily one of my favorite horror documentaries, about just about the genre in general. I would say I like this one better than Going to Pieces. Going to Pieces feels a bit more, what's the word, superficial, I think. Yeah, I would say Going to Pieces feels more superficial, even though it is supposed to be about the slasher genre. It feels really superficial and kind of just skates over the surface of the genre, of the slasher genre, whereas this one goes more in-depth into the whole evolution of this, of the horror genre as it is, or as a genre, while also kind of taking a look at what influenced different films that were released. So, if you're a fan of documentaries, and you want to see a really good one about the horror genre, I highly recommend Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue. It is available on Netflix Instant Watch. I highly recommend it. Check it out if you have not seen it. And, yes, it's, I'd give it a 4 out of 5. Definitely a recommend, worth your time. And the interviews alone are absolutely worth checking out in this one, especially John Carpenter. He's got some very, very cool things to say. So, excuse me, with all that said, let's go ahead and jump into our bonus review of Event Horizon.
Bonus review!
Tonight's bonus review is the 1997 sci-fi horror film Event Horizon.
At 0300 this morning, TDRS picked up an automated navigation beacon broadcasting at 2-minute intervals in Neptune orbit.
This is incredible. The Event Horizon. She's come back.
The Event Horizon is the culmination of a secret government project to create a spacecraft capable of faster-than-light flight. The ship doesn't really go faster than light. What it does is it creates a dimensional gateway that allows it to jump instantaneously from one point of the universe to another light years away.
Where has she been for the last 7 years, Doctor?
That's what we're here to find out. After 7 years in deep space.
There were 18 people on board this ship when it disappeared. I want them all accounted for.
Opening outer door.
It came back, abandoned.
Any crew?
Negative. This place is a tomb.
But it didn't come back alone.
Captain Miller! I've got some problems here!
Has been beyond the boundaries of our universe. Who knows where it's been and what it's brought back with it?
Did you hear that? What is it?
The ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
What are you telling me? That this ship is alive?
Oh. And I have such wonderful things to show you.
Oh my God!
It knows my secrets. It knows my fears.
Vacate. I want off this ship.
You can't leave. She won't let you.
God help us.
Directed by Paul W.S. Anderson and written by Philip Eisner, a rescue crew investigates a spaceship that disappeared into a black hole and has now returned with something or someone or something new on board. Starring Lawrence Fishburne as Captain Miller, Sam Neill as Dr. William Weir, Kathleen Quinlan as Peters, Jolie Richardson as Lieutenant Stark, Richard T. Jones as Cooper, Jack Noseworthy as Justin, Jason Isaacs is DJ, and Sean Pertwee as Smith. So, first off, I actually really enjoy this movie. I didn't... a little bit of history about this for me, or personal history about Event Horizon. I remember reading about it in about 1997, and I remember seeing the trailers on TV, but I was too young to actually see the movie at that time, so I didn't see it until about 10 years later, actually, in 2007. I was hanging out with a friend, and her then boyfriend, and we were running around doing various whatever the hell it was we were doing, And she mentioned to me that she really wanted to watch Event Horizon. And I was working at Hollywood Video at the time, which is why I know it was 2007. And I said, alright, well, let's go to the store and we'll go get it. And we did, and she just kept talking about, oh, it's such a bad movie, but it's like Hellraiser in space. And actually, when I started watching this the other night, I tweeted that this was what Hellraiser 4 should have been, which I will get to momentarily. So, Event Horizon follows the crew of the, I'm drawing a blank on what the name of the ship was. Oh, the Lewis and Clark, led by Captain Miller, Lawrence Fishburne, on a rescue mission to the Event Horizon, which is a ship that has a quote-unquote faster-than-light drive in it, created by Dr. Sam Weir. William Weir. Yeah, Sam Neill plays William Weir. I got confused because Sam Neill's name. Anyway, so they go out, and the ship has been missing for 7 years. And we get a quick prologue at the beginning of the movie that explains that this ship supposedly blew up in space, and it was a huge, colossal space disaster for this company. But in truth, it disappeared, and now it's reappeared, so the Lewis and Clark crew is going out to rescue it. Or the crew. The crew and the ship, if possible. And Dr. Sam... God damn it, Sam Neill. Sam Neill's character proceeds to explain to them that it has a... What's so special about the Event Horizon is it's faster than a light drive, which he explains, of course... is, of course, impossible, because it breaks the laws of physics, or some such nonsense, I don't remember exactly, but... Basically, this quote-unquote faster-than-light drive is... It bends space and time together so that the ship literally passes through... Uses the power of a black hole to basically put the ship from one place to another. And they said if the drive is basically works that if you're going to a place that's so many, a thousand light-years away... You can get there as if it were, and it'll take an hour instead of however long it would take to go several thousand light years. So, they go out and they find the ship, and I think it's orbiting Neptune, something like that. And it is this is a haunted house movie in space. They find the ship, they find what's left of the crew, and there's blood and nastiness everywhere, and all hell breaks loose, and there's something on the ship, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, I know a lot of people don't like this movie because it's a Paul Anderson movie, and a lot of people just don't like Paul Anderson's movies, although I personally liked Mortal Kombat, and I've liked a couple of his other films. They're not amazing. Let me say that right now. Paul Anderson is a decent director. I don't think most of the movies he's made that I've seen haven't been amazing, but they're also not complete shit. And this is one of those movies that I really like, despite what people say about it being bad. I don't think it's really that bad of a movie. It's a pretty good, haunted house in space movie. And Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill really are key parts of why this movie is so fucking good, because they're both fantastic they both put in fantastic performances. Now, when I said this was what Hellraiser 4 should have been, for those of you who have seen Hellraiser 4, you know that Hellraiser 4 is the film where they go to space, because that was a good idea. And if you're in a little strange bit of trivia regarding Hellraiser 4, I believe it's subtitled Bloodlines, Hellraiser 4 was released the same year that Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space, was also released. So somebody was, I think either people were smoking some really good drugs and had the same idea, or they were sleeping with the windows open, as they say. So, when I compare this to being what Hellraiser 4 should have been, I mean that in the sense that Hellraiser 4 was an entirely, just a gigantic clusterfuck of a movie. They tried to pick up from where Hellraiser 3 left off, and also do this whole thing with the future, which was just terrible, and it was in space, and it was fucking terrible. This one, however, is much closer to what I would consider a Hellraiser-style story that you would see in the old Hellraiser comics or in a fantastic collection of short stories called Hellbound Hearts. It's an anthology of original Hellraiser short stories by different authors. And what I love about those short stories, and what I love about the comic book series of the Hellraiser stories, is that most of the stories don't focus on the box itself. The stories focus on other items that are gateways to hell, like the box is. Which, of course, gives us new and interesting incentives to look at. And that's kind of how I feel about this movie. If you watch Event Horizon, you think about it as if it's a Hellraiser movie, it makes a lot of sense, because they talk about how the ship, you know, going into another dimension, they call it, it seems to be a hell dimension, and all the horrible things that happens and the crazy things the crew sees. If you think about it as a Hellraiser movie, this actually kind of really makes a lot of sense, and especially towards the end when the beast appears, he's almost a Cenobite in a way. And also the visuals of this film are very, very Hellraiser-like. The ship itself is the interiors of the ship are very, they describe them in the special features on the special edition DVD as they were trying to go for a cathedral-like look, and it does have that kind of look to it, but it's also very, as I said, very Hellraiser-looking, something you would see in a something I would definitely say would come from a Hellraiser movie or from something that Clive might design for a Hellraiser movie. So, Event Horizon, this is kind of, I'm trying to keep this one kind of quick because it's a bonus, but Event Horizon, I really enjoy it. Unfortunately, not available on Instant Watch. However, if you have the Netflix DVD service, you can get it through them. If you have a Blockbuster nearby, I don't know if anybody still goes to Blockbuster, but you can rent it from there. Redbox, maybe? I don't know. Never use Redbox. I got my copy for like $5 on Amazon, special edition, so you can get it for super cheap on Amazon if you want to buy it. But if you have not seen Event Horizon, I'd recommend it. Don't expect it to be a super amazing horror film, because it's really not. But it's not nearly as bad as I think a lot of people say it is. It has its moments of being of sort of what the fuck moments. But overall, I think it's a really, really good movie. And I think it's one of those movies that, because it's a Paul Anderson film, it kind of gets shit on more than it really should. But it's a good blend of sci-fi and horror. And considering that nothing will ever top the best sci-fi horror film ever made, which is, of course, Alien. I actually didn't like the sequels to Alien, because I don't like James Cameron. That's another story entirely. Alien is the perfect sci-fi horror film. This is not nearly as perfect, but it's a good movie. I enjoy it. So, Event Horizon, give it a 3 out of 5. Definitely give it a recommend. Just check it out if you haven't seen it. And that's it for our bonus review.
And now our feature presentation.
Tonight's feature presentation is the 1975 Dario Argento Italian classic, Deep Red.
You! Hands killed. And you will kill again.
You're getting closer and closer to the most unnatural kind of death. Beyond shock.
What was that?
Beyond horror into total terror. Murder runs wild. Blood runs cold. Deep red.
The conjecture is that an act of bloodshed was once committed in that house.
What is it?
Didn't you hear that?
No, what was it?
I don't know.
Everywhere you look. Everywhere you turn. Death is running with you.
Directed by Dario Argento, written by Dario Argento and Bernardino Zapponi, starring David Hemmings as Marcus Daly, Dario Nicolodi as Gianna Brezzi, Gabriel Lavia as Carlo, and Macha Merrill as Helga Ullman. A musician witnesses the murder of a famous psychic and then teams up with a feisty reporter to find the killer, while evading attempts on their lives by the unseen killer bent on keeping the dark secret buried. Which is kind of a strange summary from IMDb, but also, pretty good summary of the actual... Actually, it's a fairly decent summary, just strangely worded. Marcus is a pianist who happens to see Helga, who is the famous psychic, as mentioned in the synopsis. She lives below him, in the apartment below his, and on his way home one evening, he sees her murdered by an unseen killer. And as the first person on the scene who finds her... he's now the unwitting target of the killer who murdered Helga. Now, this is a kind of a strange movie in the sense that it's more of a murder mystery than it really is a horror film, but it has horror elements to it. It's definitely a very 70s movie. The soundtrack by Goblin is very 70s funk kind of thing. It really, if you've seen any of Dario Argento's early films, or you've heard any of Goblin's soundtracks that they've done, it sounds a lot like this one. Very reminiscent of the Dawn of the Dead soundtrack, with some of the bass lines and things that pop up in this. But the story is very, just kind of odd, because you've got Marcus, and then you've got Gianna, who's the reporter, and they're trying to figure out who this killer is, and I've only got a couple of clues, one of which is this child's nursery rhyme type song that I keep hearing at the murders. And every time somebody seems to get close to figuring out who or what this song has to do with the killer, they get bumped off. So Helga's the first one murdered because she's the psychic, and the film opens in this theater, and she's part of a presentation about parapsychology. And she has a vision that the killer is in the building, and they're going to kill again. And then she gets murdered. And then Marcus, of course, is trying to figure out who the hell this killer is. They go off and he figures out there's a woman who wrote a book about, I think it's like ghost stories and legends, modern ghost stories. So he tries to find her, but then she gets murdered. And it just keeps going on from there. Various people who might be able to help him and Gianna get bumped off. And I'm not going to reveal the ending, because this is a fantastic, absolutely fantastic film. You really should check it out. But it's very strange. If you've seen Suspiria, this has some very similar style as far as the way shots are presented and the way things are cut, but it doesn't have the same color schemes that Suspiria had. Suspiria was much heavier on strange kind of technicolor visuals, whereas this one, it's much more just strange camera angles and kind of odd shots. And it is kind of it's about an hour and 55 minutes long, so it's a fairly long movie. And it's also, it kind of drags at times, but I was never bored with the film. It is a very good movie. It's well paced, despite being a little long and at times a little slow. But the death scenes are really fantastic. and very, very interesting to watch. And it's just an odd kind of it's one of those movies that if you've only ever seen Inferno or some of Argento's later movies, it's kind of surprising to see this one because it's not really a supernatural horror film. It really is more of a straight murder mystery. But it's a fantastic, absolutely fantastic film. It's probably one of my favorites of Argento's early works. The soundtrack is absolutely awesome. If you can find the Goblin soundtrack for Deep Red, I highly recommend it. It is very, very cool. And like I said, it's got a very funky 70s kind of vibe to it. And this is available on Netflix InstaWatch if you have not seen it. I do own a copy. It's floating around here somewhere. I think my copy is like a... Mine's not a super great copy. It came with a... It's on a split disc with something else. But I believe either Anchor Bay or Blue Underground or somebody... I know there's a really nice special edition that's been released. And there's the version that's on Netflix is the unrated cut. So definitely check that out. The transfer on the Instant Watch version is absolutely beautiful. So, Dario Argento's Deep Red is a 5 out of 5. I absolutely love this movie. Highly recommend it. If you've never seen it, you should definitely check it out. If you have seen it, watch it again, because it's fucking awesome, and it's really one of Dario Argento's best early films. Well, that's it, everybody, for episode 8 of Devour the Podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Next week, theoretically, I will actually have the Paranormal Activity 3 review up and ready. I don't know yet. We'll see what happens. Again, no idea what the Came from the Instant Queue will be, but who knows. If you have a suggestion, feel free to tweet it to me or email it to me. Those contact information is over at the end of... It will be posted at the end of this episode, as well as in the show notes. If you enjoy the show, pass it along to your friends. Let them know that it's out there. I'd like the publicity. It's always nice. Feel free to email or tweet or hit up the Facebook. That would be awesome. I would appreciate it. Yeah, that's about it. The Nightbreed retrospective will be continuing over on the blog, devourtheblog.wordpress.com. So check that out. And, yes, next week, hopefully, Paranormal Activity 3 will actually be reviewed. So, hope everyone enjoy the show, and take care. To contact Devour the Podcast, you can email us at cenobitedave@gmail.com. That's cenobitedave@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at ddelamorte. That's capital D, DELLAMORTE. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/devourtheblog. You can subscribe on iTunes, search for Devour the Blog, or visit the website devourtheblog.wordpress.com. Our intro song is entitled Gloom Horizon by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com.